And we read in the very first book of the Bible, in the first chapter, in the first verse, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And then after that, it lists, it details out the different days, and God made light, and God made land, and God made the sky, and then he made animals and trees and all these things, and then he ended by creating human beings. And then the last verse in that chapter, verse 31, this is key. It says, "And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good." God created everything we can see and touch and smell and taste. He created the entire universe and everything in it. And the Bible is telling us that it was perfect. There was nothing bad about God's creation. There was no sin. There was no death. There was no sickness. It was just perfection. And isn't that amazing to think about what that must have been like? So parents, that's a great question to ask your kids. What would that have been like? Never getting a cold, no sickness, no death, just perfection. That's a great question to ask your kids. Describe what that might have been like. And we know that Adam and Eve, the first two human beings God created, existed and enjoyed this beautiful, perfect world. And the climax of that is that they had a perfect relationship with God. There was nothing that hindered that relationship, creation. Now, we read about this perfect creation, and we kind of look around the world and we go, well, man, what in the world happened? The world is not perfect. There is death. There is sickness. There is darkness. There is evil. Like, what happened? And the Bible calls this the fall. That's the second word in the gospel narrative, the fall or sin. And so we look around the world, and everything's kind of jacked up and broken, and we go, it's not perfect. So what happened? In Genesis 2:16, God gives Adam one command that he has to keep. "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, 'You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die.'" So in the midst of this perfection, God basically had one rule. He said, yeah, enjoy everything that I've made. Here's all of this perfect creation, but don't eat of this one tree. And some people get caught up on the fact that it was eating some fruit from a tree. It doesn't matter what the rule was. God giving one rule, he was saying, I'm God, you're not. Trust in me, obey me. That's the point of this one rule. God is saying, don't do this one thing. Acknowledge that I am God and I am higher than you, and so follow my command. But we know that Adam and Eve didn't trust God. They didn't obey God. And we're not going to look at it, but Genesis 3 describes the fall, what happened. Adam and Eve disobeyed. And because of that, all of God's creation got messed up and broken and fractured. Sickness and death and darkness was introduced. And worst of all of that, that perfect relationship that human beings had with God, that was even fractured. This is what happened in the fall. The Bible is really clear that all of us are sinners. Psalm 14:3, "They have all turned aside. Together they have become corrupt. There is none who does good, not even one." John 8:34, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits a sin is a slave to sin." Romans 3:23, "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." So we are all in this kind of mess together. That's a great point to tell your kids. Did you know that you're a sinner? Like, parents always know that. Yeah, we can tell our kids are sinners from a very young age. But that's something we have to understand. None of us is perfect. We are all with sin. And so you can see, human beings, we have a very difficult problem. The Bible says that all of us are sinners. We've all rebelled. We've all turned our backs on God. We've all disobeyed him. And because God is perfect and just, he has to punish sin. Or else he wouldn't be a perfect God. If he just kind of said, well, don't worry about it, whatever. Like, that wouldn't be perfection. So because God is perfect, he has to punish sin, or else he wouldn't be fair. And so the fundamental problem in the universe is this. How can God love us when his justice and his fairness requires condemning us? Because we know God loves us. The Bible says that over and over and over again. But we have to ask, how can he love us when, because he's perfect and fair and just, he has to punish us? Like, how are we going to fix this problem? Like, what are you and I going to do? And the answer is nothing. We can't do anything. We are totally hooped. There is nothing that you and I can do to pay back God for our sins. There is no amount of good things that you can do. There is nothing in us that can please God or pay for our sin. And that leads us to the third word, redemption. The world has a massive problem, and yet God in His love sent Jesus to fix our sin problem. Jesus, who is God, came to earth, lived a perfect life, which none of us can do, willingly gave up His life to pay for our sins, and the reason He had to die is in Hebrews 9:22. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. And in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. This is why Jesus had to die. So Jesus came to willingly pay for our rebellion. He was put on trial. He was beaten and mocked and humiliated. They led Him up a hill and they nailed Him to a cross. And on that cross, remember, God hates sin and He has to punish sin. And so the punishment and anger of God for our sin was placed onto Jesus instead of onto us. And then Jesus died. He was buried, and 3 days later, He rose from the dead, and as Jesus walked out of the tomb, that was God essentially saying, payment accepted. That is redemption. God redeeming us, paying for our sin to bring us back into relationship with Him. And the last word to remember the gospel is restoration. So creation, fall, redemption, and restoration. And the exciting part is that Jesus, after He rose from the dead, He left earth, but He promised that one day He was going to come back. And so followers of Jesus, we kind of live in this excitement that one day Jesus is going to finish what He started. Parents, to kind of put that in an illustration, like imagine going to the dump and finding this old, rusty, disgusting bicycle, and with your kids sanding the rust off and repainting it and filling the tires and like restoring it back to what it used to be, right? We don't know what it used to look like, but we go, man, this bike must have been sweet. And as a family, like restoring it back to how it used to be. Jesus is going to come back and restore the earth back to how it used to be before sin came into the world. Just perfection. And so we're looking forward to that as followers of Jesus. This is what we remember. All of that is what we remember when we take communion. We take communion to remind ourselves of what Jesus did. The reason that we eat bread and we drink juice and some churches drink wine, but the reason that we do that is because Jesus actually told us to do that. In Mark 14:22 to 25, Jesus and His disciples are sitting down for one last meal together before Jesus is going to die. And it says that it's called communion, or the Lord's Supper is what it's often called. But Jesus sits down and He's explaining what we're about to do in a couple minutes. It says this: as they were eating, He, Jesus, took bread and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to them and said, take, this is My body. And He took a cup, and when He had given thanks, He gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And He said to them, this is My blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I say to you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God. So Jesus gave us communion as a way to just remember Him. So if you can imagine, I mean, we have like pre-cut Wonder Bread pieces. But if you can imagine, Jesus takes that loaf of bread and He cracks it and He says, this is My body. Like, not literally, Jesus is saying, in a little bit, My body is going to be beaten and broken and messed up for you. And so just like that bread cracks and breaks, Jesus is saying, let that be a reminder that I'm about to have My body broken for you. And then as they pass the wine around and we drink juice, it doesn't matter. Jesus says, take and drink this as a reminder of My blood that's going to be spilled to pay for your sin. So when we take communion, we're just reminding ourselves of what Jesus has done. We're preaching the gospel to one another as we come up and we remember how we are saved from our sin. And so communion is unique because on one hand, we're sad that we rebelled. We're sad that we have sin in our lives. And we're sad that Jesus had to die because of our disobedience. And then on the other hand, communion should be kind of like a party. Because we're saying, man, We are stuck in sin, and yet remember what Jesus did? We don't have to be stuck in sin anymore. So it's kind of balancing this happiness and this sadness at the same time as we take communion. So we want to remind ourselves of the gospel now. And this is going to look really different, and it might be a little chaotic as we figure it out, and that's fine. But we want to spend some time reminding ourselves of what communion is and what the gospel is. So like I said, there are six tables set up, three in the front, three in the lobby. And as families or as groups, like I said, if you don't have kids, group up with some people and go and grab some bread and grab the juice and find a spot. It can be on the floor with your kids. It can be in here. It can be in the lobby. It can be in the front entrance there. And if you need help, walk through some of the questions in this booklet and teach your kids or remind each other of what we're actually doing. Preach the gospel to one another. That's the goal of what we're going to do. Parents, like I said, if your kids aren't following Jesus, they haven't made that decision, don't give them communion. But take this as an opportunity to explain what mom and dad are doing. And even take this opportunity to explain the gospel to them and ask them if they want to follow Jesus. So we're going to give you 10, 12, 15 minutes, depending on how long it takes. We're going to play some music in the background. And so as family groups, find a table, grab bread, grab juice, grab a booklet to help you walk through it. You can go anywhere. If you want to go downstairs and sit as a family, that doesn't matter. But in about 12 to 15 minutes, we're going to call you back, sing a song together to celebrate what Jesus has done. So I'll pray, and then we're just kind of hoping this goes well. And I know you guys you can figure it out. But no person should be taking communion alone. So that's kind of the goal. If you see someone by themselves, invite them in with your family. And let's just remind each other of what communion is, what the gospel is, and spend some time rejoicing in what Jesus has done. So let me pray, and then we'll just let you loose on this. Heavenly Father, it's such a joy to remind ourselves of the gospel. And Jesus, I really do think that you told us as your followers to do this because we are so prone to forget. We are so prone to just kind of go through the motions of life and forget about the incredibleness of the gospel and what you've done for us. So God, now as we take the next 10 to 15 minutes to just really slowly walk through communion, Holy Spirit, I just pray that you would be teaching us. God, help our kids understand what we're doing. Whether they take communion or not, would they just understand who you are, Jesus, what the gospel is, and just realize why we do this, God? So Heavenly Father, we just thank you again, Jesus, for your blood that was spilled, your body that was broken, to redeem us, to free us from our sins. And so God, would you just bless this time as your church family, as we take time to preach the gospel to one another. And to glorify you, Jesus, for your sacrifice. So we pray this in your mighty name. Amen. So we're going to play some music. And when you are ready, you can go to the back or the front as a family, grab some communion, and then explain it to your kids and take it together. And in about 15 minutes, we'll call you back to sing one more song together.